Previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
If we're looking at the lighter side of things, not the lighter side of us,
because how can we?
It's only a heavy side, and then a heavier side for us.
Oh, God.
Grab a fiber bar and settle in. It's sassy time.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free and there are bad jokes and fat hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride. Where we can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring. And occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's us.
Oh, it's us. Who else would it be?
Just some stereotypically fat hosts.
Just some fat people. Who, you know, people listen to our show, they're like, you know who I want to hear? Just somebody real fat.
Oh, they came to the right place.
And they turn us on. I'm pretty sure that Google has set it to where if you Google the word fat, our show, our website just comes up.
You know what's interesting is that people used to say, you know, that oh, your picture's next to this in the dictionary, next to fat. But now Google has taken over that. It's like, oh, if you Google fat, we'll come up.
Yeah.
Sign of the times, Cliff. Sign of the times. Sign of the times, Cliff. Sign of the times.
But if this were an old show, if this was the 80s and we sent this show out of cassette tapes every week, we would say in the dictionary, next to fat, there would be a centerfold of us coming out.
That's right. If we were doing one of our classic 80s shows where we're in the 80s, we'll be saying that.
Our classic, awesome 80s shows. And then the centerfold would be us, and the centerfold would be our breasts. But our breasts would be too big to fit, frankly, at this point.
It would take the entire magazine. It would just be one fold out after another. It would just keep going and go. Anyway, Cliff, we're talking about stereotypes today. I start to say this morning. I have turned into a morning star on the show.
This is not Cliff and Kendall in the morning, Kendall.
We need to have another Cliff and Kendall in the morning soon, though.
We will. It's been like 200 episodes, so we will.
You never know, listeners, when something's going to pop up.
Listeners, they don't know. They don't know.
They have long since not known. Cliff,
well, they've long since stopped listening. And
why should they know?
Why would they know?
They don't know. We're still in the air.
I don't know about shows I don't listen to, so why would they know about anything that we do?
Cliff, a stereotype is a belief that can be held by anybody. Anybody can make up a stereotype.
Anybody?
Yeah, about specific types of individuals or certain ways of doing things. But that belief may or may not accurately reflect reality, as we're going to talk about. Like with us.
We're here to let everybody know that, you know, you think you have these stereotypes. You think if you're going to sleep with a black man, his tongue is going to be enormous. And you think if you go to bed with an Asian man, it's going to be tiny. And sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not, Kendall. I know you found that to be the case.
You know, Cliff, I'm usually down there with a measuring tape. Like, let me just check this out.
Yeah, you're down there. You're like, I don't know, 3 inches, 12. Who knows? What race are you? In the dark, we're all the same.
Most stereotypes, Cliff, are not true. Some of them are closer to reality, like Irishmen being drunks or Republicans being idiots. That's a stereotype that's really close.
That's true.
But the stereotype all Southerners are rednecks and dim-witted? Not true. Not true. A lot of them are.
But not us.
We are breaking out of that stereotype. We are pushing through.
We comprise the 10% margin of error.
We have broken that glass ceiling, Cliff.
We broke it because we sat on it. Kendall, what are some other stereotypes that we break. You being a fat straight man, are there any stereotypes that you break?
Oh God, my life is based on breaking stereotypes, Cliff. Anybody that would look at me from afar, they would
think you're a crowd of people, and then you break the stereotype. You're only one
crowd
person.
Of people. No.
Yeah.
If they were looking at me from the outside, and they're just looking at all the things I do, like musical theater and drama. I was drama president. All these things. They would probably think that I was not straight, but yeah. I am supposedly. you still won't believe that forever. But
we don't have any hard evidence to the contrary. But if hard you say evidence. Kendall, you're my bro host. I'll yeah. believe you if you say it.
But that is a stereotype that a lot of people think I am. What I'm trying to get at is the stereotype that just because you like musical theater, that you would be gay, or that you have dreadlocks, you're Rastafarian, or all blondes are stupid, or jocks are stupid, or lawyers are crooks. Again,
right? Well, I break stereotypes constantly.
What are some that you break, Cliff?
Well, when you think of very erudite gay man, you think of someone who's gorgeous and muscular. You think, even though he's straight, you think of like the Zac Efron, you think that type, because you think of my best friend's wedding, Rupert Everett or Will from Will and Grace. I'm not. I weigh 600 pounds and I'm bald and disgusting.
The only straight people play those gay people.
I know they can. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's funny because I think I heard a comic one time talking about, he was like, I've never met a fat gay man.
Oh, and I was he's like, not met me.
I know five, I think, fat gay men. You're four of them.
I'm four of them, yeah.
No, I know several, really large, gay men. I don't think that used to be a stereotype, or that somehow became into being a stereotype.
Well, it was if you think back to the old Seinfeld episode where, George and Jerry were mistaken for being gay, and where there's not anything wrong with that, came from. He said, oh, well, he's very neat, and he's very thin. Yeah. I'm neither thin nor neat. I'm a big fat slob.
I think it stems back also to, like you said, like in the 40s, they'd have these movies where these straight people would play gay men.
All those great gay films from the 40s, everybody. We also break the stereotype of, we break the vegetarian stereotype, because if you think of a vegetarian, you think of a thin, healthy person. Oh, God, never doing that. Yeah, and if people want to see that vegetarians come in all shapes and sizes, they need look no further than the two fat people hosting this show.
Yeah, look no further, listeners. Listen no further.
Listen no further is not what we're saying. Keep listening, because there's more stereotypes coming up.
So, Cliff, I'm going to break away from this for just a second, because, I started back to work recently, and I have a TV in my office now where I can just watch TV all day long, which sort of makes me red hot and mad sometimes, because I'm watching the news and it just makes me ill.
I never watch the news.
I know.
Probably talk show hosts should watch the news in case they need to talk about something. I break the stereotype. I don't know what's going on.
I'm going to start watching soap operas instead, because I can't stand the news. But anyway, every morning I watch the Today Show, and Hoda and Kathy Lee are on there.
Yeah, our counterparts. Yeah.
I know we've talked about it before, but every day I watch the show, I just crack up, because they are us. They're like, oh, it's Tuesday wine day, or oh, it's Wednesday wine day. Every day is wine day. Yeah. And I think David Letterman, they were like, oh, David Letterman mentioned us on the show, and they like cut to a clip, and the clip was Hoda and Kathy, oh, they're four drinks in or something. And that was the whole clip. And Hoda said, is that it? And she said, oh, because they're talking about wine and drinking. And it's just, I don't know. It's just watching them reminds me so much of us. Yeah. Oh, one of the other things they were talking about this morning, Hoda thinks belches are so funny. And they were playing a clip or something about belches. Yep.
Really?
She said, well, that's better than what you like, Kathy. And they started playing this fart sound with music. And I was like, I'm in the Twilight Zone, because somehow we were cloned and turned into women and put on this morning Today Show, because it is us. I swear to God, listeners, you watch that show, and I dare you to say that that's not us.
And that's no joke.
It is no joke. I wish it was.
I wish it were a little bit. Not that I don't love them, but I wish we were the number one show on television.
I just mean I wish that we were them. I wish it wasn't a joke, because I wish we were actually them, not like them.
Yeah.
All right, Cliff. My first joke for you. Cliff, a woman had gained a few pounds.
You know a little bit
about that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It was most noticeable to her when she squeezed into a pair of her old blue jeans. And Cliff, we know what that's like as well.
Oh, God. Kill me now.
I've been sliding into
them. Literally, I want to ask this question, and I'm not joking. I want to know a valid reason why every pair of pants cannot have an elastic waist.
Well, we're going to invent those. Wondering, Cliff, if the added weight was noticeable to everyone else, she asked her husband.
Yes, it is.
Bad idea. She asked her husband, honey, do these jeans make me look like the side of a house? And her husband said, no, dear, not at all. Because you're thinking, oh, nice husband. He said, our house isn't blue.
It's an oldie but a goodie. Kendall, if it's a goodie, it's a hair on the goodie, but it's all right.
I like hair on my goodies.
Speaking of goodies. Kendall, a husband, a wife, and a son walk into where else? We were probably here, an ice cream shop.
Oh, I live there.
And we walk in, they say, Cliff, Kendall. It's like cheers to us. But this is a different family. And the dad says, well, I'll have chocolate. And the wife says, I'll have a vanilla. And then the dad slaps his son in the back of the head and says, what do you want, fathead? Oh. And the lady helping them says, well, what? The lady helping him was understandably upset. You should report child abuse if you see it, everybody. She says,
more on a message from that later.
Yeah, why did you hit him in the back of the head and call him fathead? And the husband says, well, listen, there's three things in life every man wants. The first thing is a nice big truck. And you see that nice big truck sitting out there outside? It's my truck. And the second thing in life a man wants is a nice big house. And you see that nice big house? Top of the hill out there out the window? My house. And the third thing in life every man wants is a nice, tight pussy. And I had that until this fathead came along.
Oh, fathead.
Fat head.
He stretched it out, Cliff.
Yeah, it's a wizard sleeve now.
Oh, God. Cliff, our favorite little boy, little Johnny. Wrong button, sorry.
Will anybody ever teach him the proper ways, Kendall?
Well,
I don't know.
His grandmother's going to try right now, Cliff.
I hope so.
He and his grandmother, they went shopping in an old-timey department store, Cliff. And little Johnny wanted to go to the toy department, but his grandmother said that they had to stop in the ladies' clothing department first. Well, he obviously, Cliff, could not wait that long, just like us when we went to the candy part of the store. And the next time his grandmother turned around, he was gone. And she panicked and looked everywhere for him. But he had disappeared. And finally, she went to the customer service desk, intending to have them announce his name over the PA system. And to her relief, he was already there waiting for her. The woman at the desk said, she didn't say that either. Said he wanted us to announce your name over the PA system, but he didn't know what your name was. We asked him what his daddy called you, and he said, well, he called you mom. Next, we asked him what his grandpa called him, and she said he calls her sugar. And we almost out of questions for him when another lady suggested your daughter-in-law might call him by his first name. So we were happy to see you showed up at the desk, because when we asked him what his mommy called you, we were out of ideas. And the grandmother said, well, what did he say? And they said, well, he said that his mother called you a bitch. See, that family, Cliff, is just screwed up.
It's family in turmoil, Ken. It's family in crisis. And speaking
intervention.
Of families.
Intervention, yes.
Somebody needs to do one. There was a woman, she's doing her dishes, and as she looked out the window, she spied her little boy, buck naked, Kendall, and he was just about ready to mount the neighbor girl.
Oh.
And the mom ran out and just grabbed her son and brought him into the house while scolding him and telling him, you can't do it. She's got teeth in there and she'll bite it off.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Being as impressionable as little kids are, he went through his whole fucking life, Kendall, believing that his mother had told him the truth. And so, Kendall, to make a long story short, for the first time in history, it was his wedding night. And his bride had gotten herself all dolled up and was laying on bed and said, come on, honey, let's do it. And to which the groom replied, oh, no, my mama told me that you got teeth down there and you'll be able to bite it off. And so the bride lifted up her nightie and spread her legs, wampus to the wind, and grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and shoved his face in her crotch and said, look, do you see any teeth down there? And the groom said, no. And no wonder. Just look at the shape your gums are in.
Oh.
Oh, God.
That one's not ready for prime time, Cliff.
I don't know if Hoda can handle that.
Hoda, she would pass out. She'd need another glass of wine. Cliff, Dan married one of a pair of identical twin girls, and less than a year later, he was in court filing for a divorce.
Oh,
so
no.
Sad. The judge said, okay, tell the court why you want a divorce. And Dan said, well, Your Honor, every once in a while, my sister-in-law would come over for a visit, and because she and my wife were so identical looking, every once in a while, I'd end up making love to her by mistake.
Yeah. Surely, reasonable.
And the judge said, surely there must be some difference between the two women. And he said, well, you better believe there's a difference, Your Honor. That's why I want a divorce.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Slut.
Now, what do you find in a clean nose?
I don't know.
Fingerprints. Kendall, did you hear? Have you heard about the kidnapping?
What kidnapping?
He woke up. Kendall, did you hear about the gay guy that's on the patch?
No.
He's down to 4 butts a day. And finally, Kendall, did you hear about the blind circumcisionist?
No, I didn't.
Well, he got the sack.
Oh, no. He's a couple inches off, Cliff.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. That says it all, Cliff. I gotta take a break. That one messed me up.
I have to take a break.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Hey, you've made it this far into the show. It'd be a shame to give up now. Cliff and Kendall will be right back after the break.
Marushan, un hombre que su familia conoce y confía por la calidad y las deliciosas sopas de fideo. Ahora hay un nuevo nombre para conocer, yakisoba.
¿Qué es una yakisoba?
Son fideos de estilo japonés stir fry. Yakisoba ofrece varios sabores y se prepara en 4 minutos.
Así es la calidad de Maruchan.
Sopas de fideo de Maruchan y yakisoba. Búscalas en el supermercado en sección de sopas.
What a great break. But I'm glad we're back. Back for more, just like Cliff and Kendall.
All right, Cliff, we're back.
We're back, Kendall. Of course we are, as though we weren't going to come back. Kendall, speaking of stereotypes and the ones that we break, are there any that you uphold? Do you fit into any stereotypes?
Maybe a democratic stereotype. You know, the ideals of the Democratic Party I pretty much believe in.
That sounds like a great way to take the show. But, Kendall, I'm going to say you actually fit into the stereotype of the huge fat guy. You are Kevin James, only you're not Kevin James, you're just Kendall.
But how is that a stereotype I fit into? What do you mean?
You're a fat, straight slob. You're a straight married man.
Oh.
You're a fat slob. You're married to a beautiful woman, and nobody knows how it happened. It was a mistake on her part, is what we all think.
Well, that's not a stereotype. That's a fantasy sitcom show that I just happened to live in. My life is a sitcom.
Lucky you. My life is a sitcom, too. Unfortunately, no laugh track. Not on mine. There would be a track of people gently weeping.
Sometimes mine is a quirky, weird, dark comedy.
Sometimes what I really wish is that somebody would just, like, on one of those action-adventure shows. I've been watching Supernatural on Netflix just for pure want of a show to watch. And it's pretty good. But a lot of times they just, like, slash somebody's throat right in two. And I'm thinking, that's okay if that happens to me. Just come up and slash it. Bleed me out.
Speaking of slashing throats and bleeding out, it's time for the Chubby Challenge. It's time to find out who's lost the most weight or who's gained the least. It's the Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast Chubby Challenge. All right, Cliff, I'm going to go first because I need a drum roll here, okay? I lost a pound, Cliff. I'm officially under where I started.
So, from the time that we began to the time to now, you've lost 1 pound.
I've lost 1 pound. Hey.
That's great.
Hey.
It's great.
That's good.
And I think it's great.
If I can just continue this streak of luck, I can get somewhere. I could get I could get down a little bit before the end of this whole thing.
If you continue the real streak of luck that you've been on, by the time the Chubby Challenge is over, you'll be back to where you started. Kendall, I've got bad news for everybody. I don't have my results today because I weighed after you. Mr. Snodbottom was there. He was there.
Oh, no.
You know, he's a notary, and he was there marking it all down. I stepped on the scale, which you had obviously weakened with your enormous weight, and I stepped on it, and it like crunched into 1,000 pieces when I stood on it. So I don't know. I don't know where I am. He's getting a new one. He's getting it scientifically calibrated for next week to see, so we can be, you know, on the up and up with everybody. But I don't have any results this week.
All right. Well, Cliff, we are going through scales like most people go through toilet paper.
Pretty much.
It's just sad.
Pretty much.
Oh, that's a stereotype.
It is a stereotype. Kendall, I need help. And the best way for me to get help is for me to help others.
Cliff, who doesn't need help? Let's help some people right now. You've got questions. We've got answers. Ask Cliff and Kendall.
Why don't you ask us?
All right, Cliff. Why don't you go first?
All right. Let's see here. All right. Letter says, Dear Cliff and Kendall, first, let me...
That's us.
Yeah, let me tell you that I sit and listen to your show all the time, even sometimes in class, with just one earbud in, because my college classes are so boring. ROTFL, whatever that means.
Well, we're more interesting than whatever class he's in, I'm sure.
Definitely, molecular biology. I need help, guys, this person says. I recently broke up with my girlfriend of 4 years, but the breakup was a good thing. However, Cliff and Kendall, I really want to sleep with her mother. I know her mother and stepfather rarely have sex, and that her mother is sexually frustrated. I also know that she would often ask my ex-girlfriend creepily details about our sex life, and I don't want a relationship with her, Cliff and Kendall. I just really want to sleep with her and fulfill this fantasy. The problem is I have no idea what I should do. Please help. And that's signed Potential Motherfucker in Peoria. Kendall, what should this potential...
Jesse's mom has got it going.
Who's mom?
Isn't it Jesse's mom?
No, it's not. But anyway.
What is it?
Stacy's mom has got it. Thank goodness this is not songs you should know. Even you get songs wrong. Even we're not playing songs you should know.
Sometimes I put Stacy's mom and Jesse's girl together.
I wish that I had Stacy's girl. That's the more modern retelling.
Jesse's mom. Anyway, Cliff, I think that this is a setup for disaster. I think. He didn't mention whether she's a MILF or not, but I'm assuming, since he wants to.
She's a MILF to him, obviously.
Yeah, but I would stay away from that, because who knows if this husband has a gun, or what's going on in that relationship. And from sounds of it, what is he, 17?
Well, he's in college, so I don't know.
Oh, I don't know where I got 17 from.
But definitely, yeah. I think he should take a pause on that. If he's looking for a cougar, there's cougars out there in Cougar Town. Pour yourself a glass of wine. Go find one that's not married. And the mother of your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, and especially it's not like he is in love with her and wants to start a relationship with her. He just wants to have sex with her.
He just wants a little bang session.
Yeah, well, speaking of sex, Cliff.
Uh-oh.
I think my letter is all about some sex. Let's see.
Oh, God.
Dear Cliff and Kendall. I'm a 17-year-old girl. That's where I got 17 here from. Uh-huh. I knew 17
from your
came from somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm a 17-year-old girl and have just gotten out of a 7th-month relationship. I was a virgin until this relationship, and I told my boyfriend Gavin that I was a virgin and wanted to wait until I trusted him and felt that I loved him.
Good.
Well, Cliff and Kendall, the time came that I felt I did love him and trust him, so I went ahead and had sex with him. After 1 month, Gavin decided he was sick of me. It seems like as soon as we started having sex, things started going downhill. I feel so hurt and used. I'm now starting to view sex negatively. I know I'm young and have years of relationships in front of me, but are all men just out there for sex? If they are, it doesn't seem worth it. Hurt and confused. Cliff, what do you think?
No, surely not all men are just out there for sex.
Surely there are some men out there.
I mean, I know that we were and are, but Mr. I don't Snodbottom. Know. Not him. He's in it for love.
He's in it for love.
So if anybody can be a shining example of a good, solid relationship, look at Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and Mr. Snodbottom, and they love each other, and it's not. It's about love and togetherness, and I like to think it's very little about sex. So I think that, you know, she should, if she views anything in a negative light, it should be that guy and not the act itself.
Yes, I think not all men are that way, but I think people that are 17 are, and they're not ready for a relationship or marriage or commitment or anything. So I think once she gets older, things will be better. I think he probably looked at her as more of a challenge and an accomplishment to have sex with her.
Yeah, we can't know what he thought, but we would encourage her to just move on and
move on.
Let it go, as I'm encouraging everybody to do all the time. Let it go.
Let it
fall go. Fall the dow. Yeah.
We'll let this segment go, Cliff. I'm glad we could help some people out there.
I'm glad. I hope we helped them. Our young listeners who wrote in this week.
Oh, look. I think somebody else is coming that needs some help, Cliff. Uh-oh. It's the trolley.
Oh, trolley.
Hey, Trolley, do you fit into any stereotypes?
Well, he is right. He is on rails. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the trolley stereotype, being on rails. All right, but you're not from San Francisco. You have nothing to do with Rice-A-Roni, right? There you go.
He's not the San Francisco treat. All right, well, let's find out what's going on in Busheltown. Take us to Busheltown, right. Trolley.
Welcome to part two of the Bushelton Abbey mini-series event. We rejoin our story at the home of Dave Dipper in the Busheltown suburb that is for some reason known as Busheltown Abbey. Dave's just returned to the wealthy neighborhood of his residence.
Hello, Sherry.
Hello, darling. Hard day at the office?
No, Sherry. It was very easy to come up with a brilliant ad campaign for Marmalade. Of course it was hard. If being a number one ad man in Busheltown were easy, everyone would do it.
Certainly, dear. Oh, that's the meth. I'll just get that out of the oven.
I thought I told you to quit making the meth in the kitchen. If some nosy neighbor comes around, our cover would be blown.
Oh, Dave, it's perfectly fine. The neighbors never stop over. And even if they did, you throw a dish towel over it and everything's golden.
Throw a dish towel over it? That's your answer for everything.
Well, darling, it's never failed me so far.
Who could that be?
I'm not sure. The neighbors never stop over. Grab a dish towel and throw it over there.
Meth, yes, I already did. Where are the kids?
John went to Paul's house. George went with Ringo to Rango's, and Tony went to Colette's again.
I'll get it. We're starting to look suspicious. Hello.
Hello there, sir. I just moved into the neighborhood.
I see.
Darling, who is it?
It's this...
Pardon me. I seem to have forgotten my manners. My journey here was rather a long one, I am afraid. My name is Bertram Goosefeather.
No, I'm David Dipper. This is my wife, Sherry.
How do you do?
I'm terribly sorry to bother you this evening. But you see, I am expecting a rather important package, and I was wondering if it might have been delivered here by mistake. You see, my address is 2026 Boniva Lane.
And we're 2036. I'm afraid we haven't seen anything like a package.
Oh, dear. That is unfortunate. I am in desperate need of it, you see.
Sorry, Mr. Goosefeather, but if my wife says she hasn't seen any package...
Of course. But you will let me know if it should turn up, yes?
Certainly. Say, if you moved into 2026 Boniva, then you're in the old Stumpfelt house. It gets such beautiful light during the daytime.
Oh, really? Well, we'll have to do something about that then, yes. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, really nice to meet you.
Goodbye!
What a loser. He can't even get his mail correctly.
Wonder why he wouldn't want sunlight in his house.
I don't know and I don't care.
It was a curious case Dave and Sherry Dipper had been met with that evening. While Sherry Dipper busied herself with the evening's meatloaf and measuring out meth into Ziploc baggies, Dave Dipper brooded upstairs in his den. He smoked a pipe and thought about the money he needed to find in order to keep his advertising agency going.
How can I get my hands on some dough? I'd use the money for meth, but we're already using that to pay off our student loans. Why did Sherry insist on getting her doctorate in Native American smoke sculpting?
Dave brooded the night away. It was several hours later that he finally went to bed beside Sherry. It was sometime after 3 a.m. when Dave heard a crashing sound downstairs.
What's that?
Oh, Dave, I'm frightened. It sounded like someone crashing through the front window in the living room.
I'll get the baseball bat.
Be careful.
I'm going downstairs. Whoever is in our living room is about to get a skull full of bat. Wait, what did you do with that meth?
It's on the kitchen counter with a dish towel over it. I forgot to put it in the basement after I finished watching Oprah's next chapter.
Damn it!
Dave crept out of his bedroom door and slowly down the stairs. He was still a little drunk from all his brooding, and in the moonlight he could barely make out what was around him. But he could see a shadowy figure lying motionless over in the corner, and another figure walking up to the front door.
What the hell? Barry, what the hell are you doing here?
Dave, I thought that was your car in the driveway.
What are you doing? My wife is upstairs, Barry. What's that you're holding?
Oh, it's a...
What the hell? Who is that over there?
Just as Dave was asking rhetorical questions into the darkness, the shadowy figure burst out of the sliding glass door into the backyard and then into the woods beyond. Dave bent over Barry, who was lying on the ground covered in blood.
Barry! Barry!
Who was that shadowy figure? Why did he shoot Barry? And what was Barry doing there in the middle of the night? And what was he carrying? If you care, find out soon when you tune in for the exciting conclusion of Bushelton Abbey.
Barry!
Now, back to you, Cliff and Kendall.
Oh, Cliff. Uh-oh. It's like Dallas. Who shot Barry?
Oh, except for it's like the old Dallas, not the new Dallas.
Oh, the old Dallas. Yeah, see, times are changing. You can't even say it's like Dallas anymore.
Can you imagine in 20 years when we have to reboot Bushelton Abbey?
We have to reboot the show?
We have to reboot ourselves? As fat people of a new age. Kendall, that's so sad that we're going to have to reboot ourselves.
We have to get ourselves in the first boot. We're too big to do that.
We haven't been booted once yet, so.
Oh, Cliff, if our listeners fall into the stereotype of loving us or loving our show. Of course they do. They can go to cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall. They can email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com or give us a call on our fat line at 818-308-4FAT.
Oh, sure.
Cliff, you got a quote?
Kendall, too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. And that was said by Will Rogers.
Ain't that the truth? And that is also the truth.
Cliff, sadly it is.
I don't fit into any stereotypes, and I like myself that way. And that was Joy Bell C.
Wonderful. Kendall, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. And that was again said by Will Rogers. Cliff and Kendall of his time.
Will Rogers. All right, Cliff, that's all the quotes I got. Why don't you take us home?
Take me home. Stereotypical roads.
Oh, so stereotypical.
Oh, they just keep turning and they're blacktopped. I don't know. What's a road stereotype? I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Don't perpetuate stereotypes. We'll see you here next week.
Don't. If people believe in stereotypes, just burn them a disc of this show. And you probably get lucky, they probably kill themselves.
Solve itself.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.
Move on.
Move on. Move on.